And I feel that about everyone, even if I don't know their purpose, even if I say, man, Sophie really bugged the shit out of me today. Which I've said. No, I'm just kidding.
Welcome back to the My 20-somethings podcast, episode 7. We're switching things up today and we want to discuss something a little bit different.
For those of you who are new here, we are Jenna and Sophie, and we are two 20-something best friends who started this podcast to create a community of those just figuring this all out. Every other week, we bring you advice, guest mentors, and personal anecdotes so you never have to say, I wish I knew that in my 20s.
This episode, we're going to be chatting about Taoism, what it is, what it means, and how it's affected Jenna's life. This is something that has become a part of Jenna's life that I've heard her talk about and have always wanted to learn more about.
Yeah, Taoism is something that I've definitely dabbled with. It's something that came into my life at a really pivotal moment and I really feel has changed who I am as a person. But I do need to put a little disclaimer here in saying that I, just like in all our episodes, am no expert. I don't claim to be an expert. In fact, I am a proud amateur in this field. And I'm just learning and my learning is evolving and I'm constantly being corrected on stuff I thought I understood that I don't. So I'm definitely on a journey here to figure this out. And I just want to share where I am, but I urge you to, if you are interested in this topic and if you want the most exact answers, do more research than just me. I just want to be a starting point for you that will spark your interest in looking at something further. The other little part of this disclaimer is that Taoism is a multi-tiered concept, and it is most often broken up into two different categories, one being the philosophy of Taoism, which we will focus on today. So the lifestyle of living according to Taoist beliefs, the mindset, everything like that. And then the other one is the religion of Taoism. And that is when people follow it much more to a T and they base their entire life choices on it. And there are much more deep connections to it that I can't even begin to explain. So I am in no way trying to appropriate anyone else's religion. I cannot speak to this religion. It is not my personal religion. So I'm only focusing on what I've learned about in terms of how it is as a philosophy and as a lifestyle. But if you're interested in the religion, there's a lot of research on there on the internet. So definitely take a search into that because it can get very interesting.
I'm really excited to learn about the philosophy of this. I know absolutely nothing about this other than the fact that Jenna has mentioned it a few times. So that being said, let's jump right in.
Whoosh, that was me doing a little arrow to the side.
And go. So I've prepared a bunch of questions for Jenna and my plan is to go through them with her now and hopefully gain a better understanding of what Taoism is because I really don't know anything about it. And my hope is to understand a little bit more about how this can help us as 20-year-olds. So I want to start more on the side of what like the actual history of Taoism is to give us all a better understanding of what we're really going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So like in simplest terms, you want to know what the fuck is it?
Yeah. So okay. My first question is, yeah. What is it?
Got it. Okay. So from my understanding, Taoism is a non-God-centered Chinese religion and philosophy. Mm-hmm. So different from, you know, your typical Catholic, Christian, Jewish, anything like that, where it all involves one central figure and it's all centered around their beliefs. This in Taoism, as far as I can understand, you aren't praying to any specific god, and it's not necessarily linear in that sense in terms of their belief of believing that something that happened ages ago applies now. Taoism is one of the oldest religions and philosophies in the world. It was believed to be developed in 500 BCE by a man named Lao Tzu. Now, there's no actual firm data that proves that Lao Tzu ever existed, but if he did exist, he would have been around in this time and he would have been what's considered like a contemporary of Confucius, which he started Confucianism. They're all kind of interconnected, but goes back way in the day, and it's about this guy named Lao Tzu who was this ancient philosopher, and he had these really strong beliefs that were quite different from what the other religions were saying at the time and the other perspectives. So he kind of laughed at the other viewpoints and said these aren't realistic. And instead, he believed that there could be harmony in all living things and everyone could live easily together if we recognize that their self-interest is not always the interest of others. And so he put his whole belief system into a book, and the book is called the Tao Te Ching. It's kind of like the Bible of Taoism, but it's not necessarily a Bible because it's, again, not something that you read and have to pray to. It's instead, they view it as like a book of poetry. So it's really just something to read and appreciate, but it's not how you need to live in any specific way. So basically within this book, it talks about this invisible and unchanging universal force, and he calls this the Tao. And the Tao can be translated in English as closest to the way. And it's basically the flow of the universe is the Tao. It's something that binds the galaxy together and makes it run like a well-oiled machine. The Tao was never created. It creates, and it created itself. And so it's like not a god of anything. It's not a real person of any sense. The Tao is a concept. The universe was born from the Tao. And basically, Taoists believe that there is a natural order of the world and that everything is acting as it should be, according to the Tao. The Tao is the way. And so that natural order is also referred to as the Li. And they believe that everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to. And the Tao never messes up. There is never, you know, a miscommunication or an error. Everything is going according to plan. So I guess you could say that this is where like the everything happens for a reason mentality comes from, because they believe that, you know, even if we can't see it, we are progressing, that the world is still spinning and the Tao is still going and everything is going right.
So I think that it's really interesting because everything that happens for a reason has been something that I've like not always believed, but like as I got older, started to like use as a reassurance point for myself that like things are happening for a reason, things are moving. But I never knew or like acknowledged that that was a philosophy called Tao, the way. And so yeah, it's really interesting that these things that I just say to myself actually like have a history and a lineage back to this whole philosophy that I never knew about. It's kind of right. Cool.
It's very comforting. Like, it's comforting to know that, like, according to these people, everything's good. Like, even if it doesn't mm-hmm. seem good in the moment, this is what's supposed to happen. And you kind of just have to go with it because there's no point in fighting it. And we'll go way deeper into that when we talk about change. But yeah, it's interesting how we've kind of already taken on that mentality even without knowing much about Taoism.
Yeah, really cool. Mm-hmm. My second question is, sometimes you see Taoism written with a T and sometimes it's written with a D. So for our listeners, it's either spelled Taoism or Daoism. And I'm just wondering, is there a difference between the philosophy based on the letter, or why are there these two different spellings?
So yeah, so good question, comes up a lot. Confused me for sure. But basically, the reason why it's either Taoism or Taoism, which one's correct? The answer is both. There are two translations of an ancient dialect that obviously wasn't written in English. So there have been many different interpretations of it. And nowadays, how it's generally understood is that when you're saying T-A-O, it's still pronounced Tao, but it's spelled with a T. That is more the traditional conservative sense of Taoism. So that's pre-1950 beliefs of Taoism, which have been changed because many different people have taken different interpretations of it. And if you see DAO, it's more often that it came second in the 1950. But if it's heard casually in conversation, like if you hear Taoism, Taoism, they're more generally synonymous, that they're speaking about the same thing. But it's more that in English, we don't have a single letter that perfectly translates the word. So there's been different interpretations on how it should be spelled. Really, neither is right because neither perfectly describes the way that it's supposed to be pronounced and what it means. But these are two different interpretations of the same concept.
And at the end of the day, they're pronounced the same with the da-da sound.
The way Taoism. We would say it sounds more like a D, Taoism, yes. Right.
Okay, good to know. One of my questions here was, is it God-centered? And I think we already touched upon that. Is there a reason? Can we go into a little bit more about the reason why it's not God-centered?
That's interesting. You know, I'm not quite sure. I would say because it was based around a philosophy and wasn't designed to be a religion, they weren't really necessarily focusing on that. And instead, it was just focused on, you know, finding an existential purpose of the world, of why the world functions the way it is. And that's where the Tao came in. And it was just basically this idea of, why does, you know, what controls this world have to be a person? Why can't it be a force? And that's what the Tao is. The Tao is a cosmic force which flows through all things and binds them and releases them. That's a quote I found somewhere that I really liked. And it, for some people, makes a lot more sense that it be, you know, something we cannot see, but is still a controlling factor, rather than be, you know, a man with a white beard.
It's interesting how there's no one really knows. We can all, like, right, try to guess, and we can believe certain things, but at the end of the day, we don't really know why we're here. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes gives me a headache, that like existential crisis. I try not to think about it, but it's interesting that there are people who believe that it was created by this man, and then there's other who it's the force of it, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it's just a different way to look at it.
Yeah. So I think my next question is, Taoism as a philosophy, does it have major teachings or lessons? Or, and like, kind of, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what's the point of it for people who try to live their life by it?
Right. So this is all, again, up to interpretation. And I've pulled out my major teachings from the books that I've read, from the secondary sources that I've looked into. But generally, if you're searching up about Taoism, these are going to be the headlines you find of what they're really trying to say in it, according to certain translations and interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that really has resonated with me is basically this idea that, according to Taoism, change is constant and regular. So change happens no matter what. Everything is constantly changing. And they believe that the Tao, and that our world in general and our universe, is never stationary and is never fixed. Change happens regardless. Everything is constantly changing. You can't avoid it. And change is good, because change means the world's working as it should. If it wasn't, it wouldn't stay relevant. It wouldn't stay working. So with that in mind, you need to learn to embrace change and accept it. Because if you don't, you're going to live a harder life. It's almost like if you could imagine trying to stand stationary on a turning ball. You right. can't. Like, if you're trying to balance on like on a unicycle, you can't stay still without moving. And so it's that idea that change is going to happen. And the more you try to pressure change to not happen, and the more you try to plan with the expectation that everything that happened yesterday will be the same today, the harder time you're going to have, because you're fighting the natural way of the world.
Right.
So I have taken that to a lot to mean, you know, obviously planning can be good in terms of not going in blind to things, but also don't plan to an extent where you won't be able to adapt when that doesn't happen, because we can't predict what's going to happen in this world. Change is always happening.
We're workable.
Right. So basically it's just this idea that the world is like a wave, and we have to learn to ride that wave rather than fight against it. Because if you're trying to stop the water from running, you're just going to have a harder time. But if you learn how to roll with the punches and ride the wave, you will live a more peaceful life.
I really like that idea of riding the wave. Again, maybe not, I'm not sure if it's directly a quote from Taoism, but I feel like I say that a lot. And I don't know if you and I had that conversation a few weeks ago, I'm not sure, but about how you just got to roll with the punches. You got to ride the wave, because things pass and you have ups and downs. And I guess the Taoism translation, correct me if I'm wrong, is that these things are happening for a reason. And you, the way, this is the way things are supposed to go.
Right. It's Taoism I'm butchering it. It's been known as to be the surfer dude attitude of dude, chillax, don't sweat the small stuff. It'll be what it is. If it's meant to be, it'll be. Don't fight the natural order of the universe. Go with the flow. That's right. All things of saying, like, there's no point in stressing so much about this, because we can't change it. It's how mm-hmm. it is. And so, God, what a perfect metaphor for 2020.
Oh, seriously.
Like, it's really, it's just saying, like, yeah, we can say this is not how what I want. This is not how I expected it to go. But then we can also say, yeah, so this is how it is. So let's roll with it. Let's adapt. Because there's no point in fixating on what I wanted it to be. That's way in the past. All I know is the present, you know?
Yeah, I really like that. I think that could be true in like so many difficult situations.
Yeah. And basically, I believe what the Taoists say is, if you are able to learn how to move in harmony with the way of the world and go with that flow and not fight against it, you will live a more peaceful and a happier life.
Hmm.
So maybe we will.
Maybe. So my next question for you, Jenna, is can anyone study this and can anyone use this? So for like our listeners who are listening to this, is this like totally irrelevant to them outside of their realm, or are there ways that they can embody this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. If you're taking the approach that at least I'm attempting to take, which is not to appropriate someone else's culture and not to say I'm an expert in Taoism, but instead to say, wow, these teachings, you know, really could be helpful for me in my life to be a more happy and content person with where I am now. I don't see why you couldn't embrace some of these learnings, you know, learning to go with the flow and learning to say, you know, the only thing I can control is how I react to the world around me because I can't stop the world from turning. And there are little things, yeah, that like absolutely, like there's a concept called Wu Wei. And basically it's the act of not doing. And what that means is it's basically saying, relax. By not doing, you are actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that doesn't mean, you know, don't do anything in life, like lie back in a chair and say, I'm not doing, I'm good. I'll be happy. I'll go to heaven. That's not how it works. But it's instead saying that if you don't force anything to happen, and if you're able to just roll with it, and recognize that everything is happening as it's supposed to, you will find yourself. And it's this idea that fighting the natural way of life only adds a necessary stress. So if you're a person like me and I have a lot of stress in my life, I think saying, you know, I can't fight this. I can't fight the fact that this is how it is and this is the world will relieve some of that extra stress to make the world go in your favor, because it doesn't work like that.
Right. I think it's like I said earlier, like I have brought on a mentality for myself, and I call it a mentality because that's what I considered it to be, that everything happens for a reason, and that I was going to kind of take on challenges and use that mentality and put myself into that space that I say, you know what, like this is going to, something else is going to stem from this path that I'm now moving on, right, even if it wasn't the path I was going to be on. And understanding now that that's essentially what this philosophy would label as the Tao is almost a way that I could recognize that that's this philosophy and live by it and reflect on it and apply it to my life. So
right, look, it's this idea that the universe is always changing. So if you try to look for absolutes and navigate it with an unchanging mindset, you're gonna have a hard time. You're making it harder for yourself. Like, don't be your biggest obstacle in life. So if you can acknowledge, I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And yeah, and that kind of goes, when we talked about in our last episode, we talked about New Year's resolutions. And it's like, yeah, I can say what I'd like to happen, but I can't go in saying I'm going to make this happen. This is what the next year's going to be like, because I don't know.
Right.
And because there's no point in stressing about that. Like I could, you know, say it's going to be the best year of my life. I'm going to get married. And then I could get a pandemic. Who knows? So we just have to roll with things and go with how it's with the flow and be able to adapt and ride the waves as opposed to, you know, trying to cancel the stream.
So I guess along that line, does the philosophy have any like opinions about absolutes? And I think you kind of touched upon it,
yeah,
but is there anything that's directly related to the philosophy of Taoism that they talk about that?
Yeah. So like, as we said before, you know, they don't believe there are absolutes in this world. I think it's an easier way to say the world is black and white, because then it makes the world predictable. And we like, as you know, people who appreciate science, we like to find answers, and it's easier if it's either this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And Taoism kind of laughs at that and says like, oh, honey, like it's not that simple. You can't just say it's this or that. That's not how it works. And it might be this today and then tomorrow might be that. Like, and so it accepts that there are things that we can't know. And as humans who like to solve problems, that's hard for us because we want to find answers. But there are going to be things we can't answer. And we have to learn to be okay with that and adapt to that. And another thing that talks about similar to like your idea of absolutes is the idea of the yin and the yang, which comes from Taoism, which a lot of people don't know. So the yin and the yang, it does. It's a Taoist principle. So if you haven't seen it before, it's the symbol that is a typical circle and it's kind of divided in half by a waved line. And one side of it is primarily black with a white center and the other side is primarily white with a black center. So basically the yin, which is the black side, is seen as female and the yang is seen as male. And basically Taoists believe that the world is balanced, which is why it works and why it's stable. There is an equal amount of good in the world as there is bad in everything. So not just in the world in general, in every single thing that is functioning on this world, there is balanced amount of good and bad. And everything that is traditionally recognized as bad, there is equal good. And in everything that is equal good, there is equal bad. So it is an interconnected topic and one cannot exist without the other. So there can't just be bad and there can't just be good. And I think that's where this, you know, belief system really stems away from traditional, you know, like Catholicism, because in a lot of those more recognized religions, they believe that, you know, we have to aim to be completely pure and good and we have to get rid of what is bad in this world. Right. But Taoism says we can't do that because we can't get rid of the bad without losing the good.
So they wouldn't necessarily believe in like a sin per se.
That's a hard question. I think they believe that there is bad in this world. They don't believe that there isn't, but they believe that there is also good in everything. And so it's about energies. And it's this idea that nothing is black and white. And it's a very intense concept. And I urge you to do more research. I definitely plan to, because I'm still trying to fully process this one.
Yeah.
But
again, this is like surface level.
Right. But basically they believe in our own bodies, there is an equal balance of yin and yang and no one is purely good or purely evil. And so, yeah, it's this idea that there aren't absolutes in this world. And that's one of the reasons why we can't predict anything.
Very, very interesting.
I think this quote, and I don't remember exactly where I found it, but there's a quote that I found that I really think sums up well, what is it and how it can be applied. And this basically says, Taoism is acceptance of your life. Taoism is following your breath to find peace. Taoism is opening up a smile to enable possibility. I think that's very cool. And it's just this idea of acceptance of what is rather than what it might be or what, you know, what are the contingency plans? If this happens and that happens, it's just, we don't know that. The only thing we know is what is.
That's very relevant, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one last question more about like what it is. And this is something that Jenna has mentioned in other podcasts, and it's about the book The Tao of Poo, and Jenna mentioned this to me years ago when she was first reading it, and I just wanted her to dive a little bit deeper into what this book is.
Yeah, so basically this is a short chapter book that was written by Benjamin Hoff. It's called The Tao of Poo because it's basically an introduction to an Eastern belief system for Westerners. So it's this idea of how can we understand something that we don't have any knowledge of in simplest terms. And the way he's chosen to explain that in simplest terms is by giving us this really good analogy of putting it in Winnie the Pooh's mouth, which is strange to say, but basically found that Winnie the Pooh, which is this childhood story we all know so well, is a really good example of a Taoist. And I think, you know, I have a quote again, I love these quotes, but that is a really good way to understand. And I think this comes just from the back of the book. And it says, while Eeyore frets and Piglet hesitates and the rabbit calculates and the owl pontificates, Pooh just is. And it's very cool because it's this idea that if you watch Winnie the Pooh back or read the books again, you'll realize that he just is. And he says, well, I can't, that's just the way it is. That's, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. And he's a perfect character to use as the base of this. And again, it just helps you understand the surface level of what this all is, but it's a really good starting point. And it's definitely what's gotten me started. And it's, really, you know, made it easy to understand for me. Like, damn, you want to explain anything to me? Explain it in Winnie the Pooh. So I really liked it. And I think it's really clear. And it's really impressive how perfectly it fits.
I think that's really cool. I think I remember you saying in our first episode that it's a book that you think everyone should read. So yeah. I might have to either borrow yours or grab a copy.
It's not a long read. It's a good one. I sometimes just read it when I want a little reminder of it. And it's just about just be. It's hard to say just be, but you can't, there's nothing else you can control but how you react to the world. So just be.
Very interesting. I like that. Okay, so I feel like you've given us a really good grasp, at least surface level wise, of what Taoism is. And I just think it's so interesting that a few of the philosophies or like mentalities, again, I'll say, that like I choose to try to live my life by, like everything happens for a reason and roll with the punches or ride the wave, can be connected back to this philosophy and this whole ancient like lineage that I didn't even know they were remotely linked to. So that being said, I want to hear a little bit more about your personal experience with Taoism. And I have a few questions about how it's changed or not changed. You can let us know how you approach your life, Jenna.
Right.
So I guess the first question that I have is, how did it speak to you and like, why did it resonate with you?
Yeah, I feel very strongly that there's a huge difference between your religion and your spirituality. And I follow a certain religion, I practice a certain religion, and I find it very, you know, fulfilling to be a part of the religion I am. But at the same time, I always felt like it wasn't enough to just explain everything in my life and to make me feel fully content and fulfilled. And so it really only took till I started taking a philosophy course at school that I kind of realized, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying my religion's great, but you know, there are things it can't answer, or there are things that I don't agree with. And you were allowed to, you know, still be a religious person, but also be a spiritual person. And they don't have to be, you know, polar opposites of each other. And so through this course, you know, we were introduced to a bunch of different spiritualities. And I really just meshed with Taoism. And there were others that really interested me, but just didn't necessarily apply to my life. But I remember reading about Taoism and thinking, oh, I want to be able to say that about myself and to say I feel that way. And I didn't always. I was a huge planner. I still am, but I was someone who had to have a planner every day of my life and had to have everything in my calendar, and who had to, and this comes from anxiety, who had to say to myself, you know, if this happens, this is going to be what I'll do. And if this happens, this is going to be what I'll do. And I know this is going to happen because I've had bad luck before. So this must happen. And it comes from superstition and things like that. And a lot of people who are anxious like to control things, because the more that they can have a plan for stuff, the less things that they don't expect are going to come out of the woodwork and surprise them and throw them off their game. And I'm a victim of that. I do that quite often, where I say, if this happens, I'll be ready because I'll do this. But if this happens, I can do that. And it kind of turns life into a game of trying to win and of trying to best a level. And that's not how life works, because there's no end. As far as we know, there's no end result and there's no finish line. And it turns your life into living, you know, for the end rather than for the journey. And I think once I realized, oh my God, this is toxic and this is not a good way to live, because I'm not in the moment and I'm missing stuff and I'm planning more than I'm being. And I don't know the exact moment, but there definitely was a moment where I said, I've got to fix this and I've got to be. And so I looked into Taoism and I really respected it, and someone gave me the book, and it wasn't something that I knew I could do, but it was something I knew I wanted to do. And I didn't pressure myself to say, you know, you got to know everything you can, you got to do all the research. I just said, try to notice points in your life when you aren't doing this, when you maybe couldn't, when you appreciate being in the moment, or saying, I can't plan for it. I can't, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also another quote that I've often said to Sophie is I've said, you know, it'll be good or it'll be over and either is fine. And
that favorite quote.
It's a great one. And we mostly said it when we're writing tests and stuff. And though it's not, you know, specifically Taoism, it goes into that same idea of why stress over it? There's nothing I can do about it. There are things in this world we can change and there are things that we can't. And I can't change, you know, how well I did on a test that already happened. That's how it is. So I think just learning this idea of of not trying to control everything and being content with the fact that there are things that are out of my control. Like for me, that brings me a lot of comfort because that's not all on me. Like there are things that I can say, oh, can't do anything about it. And that's so comforting because God, does it relieve the pressure?
Right.
So to answer your question, I know I've gone on a bit of a tangent, but I don't know when I found Taoism, but I know the moment when I said this would be a big relief if I could start feeling this way and I could start being this way.
Interesting. I think you unpacked a lot there. And I think that can resonate. Well, I mean, it resonated with me. I can't speak for anyone else, but I think you've touched upon a lot of things that other people experience as well. So I guess my next question would be, has it taught you any specific lessons? I know you went into a few things, but if you could kind of like summarize it and like,
yeah,
really tangible lessons, like what has it taught you since you've started your research?
Right. So as I've said, I've really worked to apply the Taoist teachings to modern day. And I think what I've taken away from it, a lot of people who are in my same situation of being, you know, a young adult, just trying to figure this all out, can also apply a lot of these teachings as well. And so some things I found is that you need to be able to adapt in life. And yeah, that on a small scale applies to, you need to be able to be adaptable so you can work in a work setting where people can get along with you. But in a large scale in life, things happen and the world is always changing. I mean, even as you're hearing this, Taoism is evolving to the pace of modern culture. Like the Tao has changed even in this, you know, 30-minute conversation. So you need to learn to go with the flow and not resist change. There's something that says that which offers no resistance overcomes the hardest substances. But if we can learn to do nothing, then we will actually have an easier time with life and be faced with less strife and struggle and battle with ourselves and with the things that are thrown at us. I think another important thing, and this is something I've learned for anyone who works in, you know, the creative industries, is this idea of finding your state of flow. And what that means is the state of flow is when you're in the zone to such an extent that your work doesn't feel like work. And I'm sure we've all experienced that at some point. Like, you know, when you're doing a project and you just don't want to put it down because you're actually enjoying it and you're on such a roll. Mm-hmm. And that's your state of flow. And everyone has the capabilities to get there. But basically the belief is that when you're in your state of flow, that's where creative breakthroughs come from. And so the more you can do to manifest this state of flow and to make it something that you can, you know, pull out at any time, whether that be meditation or, you know, creative expression or anything like that, the more creative developments you can have.
That's really cool. I love how those are, again, two lessons that other people will be able to hopefully resonate with and appreciate.
My other ones that I have written down are overthinking and overanalyzing will pull us away from the flow of the universe. So I'm a huge overanalyzer of saying, oh, did she interpret the text the way I thought she would? Oh. And oh, maybe I didn't say thank you enough in that last interaction. And it's happened. It's in the past. There's nothing you can do now. You've got to keep going because, you know, I can only control myself. There are also things like don't stress that you don't know who you are. That's a huge one for being in your 20s. You are always changing. The world is always changing. And there is no one you to know. So it's not like it's like you meet someone, you say, I know them now. Because who you were 10 minutes ago is not who you are right now. So you can't know who you are at all times. And I think not labeling yourself as anything is simply understanding that we aren't fixed in one position.
I love thinking about that, if I might jump in.
Yeah,
I always think about like, it's so weird to like think this way. And again, I can't think this hard about it because I'll have an existential crisis, but I like to think about like 30 seconds ago, myself is different from like my right now self and past self and future self. And I'll do things for my future self, but I think also giving myself and potentially giving yourself that space to grow and become a different person is really important. And it's about, I think from what you've said, it's almost about going with the Tao and understanding that the person that you will, that you are now is the person you're supposed to be, but that doesn't mean that's going to be the same person 2 years from now.
You're supposed to be who you are at this very moment, but two seconds from now, you're supposed to be a different person. That's who you will be. And it's, yeah, like it's, I remember saying to someone once, like, I feel like, you know, I was Jenna version A there, and now I'm Jenna version 2. And their response to me was, you're not an iPhone. Like, you don't get updates. You are who you are then. And that doesn't mean that you, you know, weren't as good a person as you are now, but that's who you're supposed to be then in that part of your life. And now you're a different person. And 2 minutes from now, you'll be a different person. 2 years from now, you'll be an even different person. And there's no end point. There's no, when you've become this perfect fixed person, that doesn't exist. You're constantly evolving to change to the person you're supposed to be at a time, but you're not evolving in a linear fashion of getting to that point of I'm perfect now, no more renditions. That doesn't happen.
Right.
So
not iPhones.
We're not iPhones. It's a very important thing. And don't stress of I have blips and I have faults, because yeah, you do, but you will tomorrow and you will the next day. And even Einstein and the most perfect people have faults. And that doesn't mean that they hadn't reached their perfect point. Humans aren't perfect. That's how Taoism feels. There's nothing perfect in this world. There's balance, but there isn't perfect.
I love that.
Yeah. Another one I love is saying that, remember, everything happens for a reason. Even if you cannot immediately see that reason, trusting that there's a reason why I went through this. There's a reason why what I thought was going to happen didn't happen, gives you that peace of mind that, you know, even though it doesn't seem ideal right now, I'm trusting that things are going as they should, and that you know, there's no point in stressing over it, and there's no point in fixating on it, because it's supposed to be that way. Nothing went wrong. It seemed wrong in the moment, but something else is going on. Something bigger is going on. I love saying that you can find inner peace in knowing that even things that seem presently wrong or bad are supposed to happen that way. The Tao cannot break down, as it is eternal. So everything is functioning as it should. Even in a world that seems really fucked up right now, it's comforting to feel like, yeah, it's fucked up right now, but there's something else going on and something happening and something in the pipes working that is going to make this all eventually seem important and seem necessary. Do not treat yourself above the earth is a big teaching of Taoism. They say, I own nothing. I am merely a passing custodian of items outside of my nature. And so in terms of interacting with our environment, that's really important, because other, you know, religions and such often treat us as this human-centric ecosystem where everything revolves around us. And the more we remind ourselves that we are just players and we have the privilege of being put on this earth, but it is not ours to control and ours to take advantage of, the more we realize that maybe we aren't the center of the universe. And maybe there are other things that deserve our time and attention than just ourselves. And then I guess my last one, and this is really applying to, you know, what you can use from it as a 20 something, is, as we said, there's balance in the world. And you need to find balance in your own life in order to keep that balance going. And so that means a work-life balance. That means, you know, a balance between what you find enjoyable and what you find to be, you know, sometimes be tedious tasks. And the more you can provide balance to your life, the more content you will be.
I think that all of those lessons in some way, and I think it's going to be different for every single person who listens to this, can resonate with me. And it may be different from how it resonates with Jenna or with you, but these are all principles that are life. Like it really just feels like life. And I think that's really cool that they're not specific to you have to be this way in order for this to apply to you or this to work for you. So right. I really like those. And so my next question, Jenna, is how has this affected your life thus far? So have you, if I rephrase it, have you felt a change? Again, not for Jenna version 1 or Jenna version 2, but Jenna almost pre-Taoism and post-discovering Taoism, for lack of better terms. Have you seen a change or felt a change?
I think what's so amazing about this is that I personally haven't felt a change, but those around me have noticed one.
Ooh.
Which is so nice because it keeps me feeling like me and I don't feel like I'm an imposter trying to be something I'm not. I feel like myself. I feel genuine. But the people around me have commented to me that they notice that I am more flexible. I am more fun. I am, you know, more resilient when things get thrown my way. I don't just keel over and say, I can't do it. Why did this happen? I say, yeah, well, that this is what's happening now. Let's do it. This is where I'm supposed to be. And obviously it wasn't an overnight thing and it's not finished, but I love the positives that it brings me into my life and the more in control I feel. It's ironic. I feel even more in control now that I know that I'm less in control, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know I have less of a say in this world, which just makes me feel more in control of my own decisions.
And I think you've touched upon this, but let me know if you want to elaborate further. Okay. Is there like one way that you've applied the learnings and philosophy of Taoism to your life personally?
I think there's not one clear cut way. It's more little things in my life in terms of when an obstacle is thrown at me, how I immediately react to it. In terms of when I make a quote unquote bad decision, how much I fixate on that and how much, you know, remorse I show because of that. And I think it's more so now my appreciation. I don't want to say of life because that sounds cliche, but I want to say my appreciation for how my purpose on this earth. And that is a bit spiritual. That is a bit, you know, religious in terms of my own beliefs, but it is really comforting for me to know that if there is such a purpose and such a way that things are supposed to happen, then me being here is a part of that. And I'm here, if everything's supposed to happen for a reason, I'm here for a reason and I'm a part of it. And if I'm not here, then things won't go as they should because I bring something to the table. The other thing that I think is something that I've tried to put into my life is mindfulness practices. And I'm a big supporter of mindfulness. I see its value. You don't see it work necessarily for what you're trying to do, whether it be anxiety or depression, I see that it can't hurt to reflect and to take time for yourself and be with your thoughts. And so I've really loved that. And, you know, both in the sense of non-traditional mindfulness of just as I'm taking a walk, you know, being aware of my senses as they work and what do I smell? What do I hear? Things like that. But also I've done more traditional mindfulness in terms of trying meditation. And I remember meditation being really hard for me when I started because it's hard as someone who is really a perfectionist to do something that you're not initially good at. So I remember doing it and saying, well, I screwed up because I was supposed to be, you know, thinking about what this image looked like in my head. And instead I was thinking about the homework I have to do tomorrow. I messed up. And it took me a while to finally get to the place where I could have thoughts without judging them and say, this is where what I'm supposed to be thinking about right now. And watch as thoughts float by in my head and not judge them and not try to interact with them, but just let them pass and go. And it's still something I'm working on. And I still mess up sometimes. But what I love about mindfulness is that a lot of people say, you know, I want to learn how to meditate. And I don't think it's something you learn how to do. I think it's something that you learn how to just, like, it's something you just do. There's no learning curve there. There's no doing it right or wrong.
No.
And that's hard for a perfectionist, but boy, is it healthy.
I'm a huge advocate of meditation. And I do meditate at least once a day. And I use meditation to fall asleep. But I completely agree, Jenna. It's not something you learn. It's just something that you do. And you can also do it in your own way.
Right.
So I think that's really interesting. Before we move on, I just want to know, is there anything about this philosophy that you don't agree with?
I would say that there are things about this philosophy that puzzle me and that I have a hard time agreeing with wholeheartedly. And, you know, some of them are situational. Like, for example, when I say everything happens for a reason and everything's happening as it should, and then we're in a pandemic and there are people dying on the daily, it's hard to to, you know, just dismiss that and say, well, this is what's supposed to happen. Because why would people, you know, losing their lives and their loved ones be what's supposed to happen?
Right.
So that's hard. And I don't really have an answer for it. And, you know, there are some times where, just like how I question my faith, I question my spirituality. But I think the only way that I can kind of answer it is by, you know, saying to myself, and this is like what I found where I say, we are a part of a greater wisdom, a higher order, knowing and accepting the fact that everything works in cycles will only make you more optimistic. So there are things that I cannot explain, and there are things that I don't understand and I don't agree with about how the world is functioning, but I am also such a teeny tiny part of it. And why this happens now may not make sense for trillions upon trillions of years, but I don't think it's my job to understand why it's supposed to make sense. I think just trusting that it's gotta, because if it doesn't, what's the point in us all being here? If we really have no purpose, and if we really, you know, are just a bunch of little aliens dropped on a planet with nothing holding us together, nothing with a meaning for us to be here, it's hard to find motivation in life. So I think I trust that just like how this is supposed to happen for a reason, something so great and so fantastic, including the fact that people are banding together right now to form a vaccine and to find a cure, was supposed to happen for a reason. It makes me feel like even the tragedies that have happened in the past all have led to the good things happening as well. And just like how they say in Taoism, we cannot have the good without having the bad.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that balance, that bad things happen, bad things need to happen in order for good things to happen. And I think if taking it like maybe one step further, maybe not, but if bad things don't happen, then the good isn't good. The good just is.
Is, you're exactly right.
Won't appreciate it. So
right,
bad things, there are tragedies that happen that I would do anything to stop. But again, I don't have that control. And sometimes they turn into the good. Maybe they don't.
They make way for the good.
But they make way for the good. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd like to believe.
So all of that being said, I just want to ask two questions that kind of relate to being 20 and how this can help people who are in their 20s understand like what life is and how it's going. And you can choose to take this or leave this, but I think my first question is, can you use any of the principles or the lessons of the philosophy of Taoism to career discovery and not job search or networking, anything like that, but kind of trying to, if I'm teasing it out a little, trying to find your purpose and what you're supposed to do with your life?
Yeah. I've really struggled with this personally, where I've been angry at myself because I don't know where I'm supposed to end up. And I don't know who I am supposed to be and what my life is supposed to look like. And so I think if Taoism can teach you anything, it's that you're not supposed to. And you're foolish if you think you know what your life's going to be, because you'll be laughing at yourself in 20 years when you say, oh my God, remember when I thought that was going to happen? Or I was so sure I was going to be a dentist. And so I think Taoism gives you the opportunity to say, I don't know, and I don't have to know. And, you know, you never have to know what you want to be. I think you can be 80 years old and say, I haven't found my dream job yet. And I think that also goes with this idea that what your career is doesn't necessarily have to be who you are. It can be what you do as a job. And it could also be how you define yourself. But I think you can also say, when someone says, when we meet people, they often say to you, you know, so what do you do? Which is basically the nicer way of saying, so who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people then have to say, well, I'm a doctor, or I'm a dentist, or I'm a teacher. And that really says all of what I am is what I do for work. And I think that's not necessarily true. It is for some people, but not for all. So I think Taoism gives you the opportunity to say, what I do for work is I am a chiropractor. But who I am, I just don't know. Because we don't know. And there's no point in trying to label ourselves as anything, because there's no absolutes in this world.
This reminds me, there's a spoken word song, and it's called Wear Sunscreen. Like, it is called Wear Sunscreen. And it goes through, and at one point, don't quote me on this, but at one point it says, some of the most, I believe the word they use is interesting people, still don't know what they want to do with their lives when they're 40. And it goes through a lot of principles about how things are temporary and how that those things don't matter. And the reason that he says wear sunscreen is that's what he kind of brings it down to. It's like, it's important to wear sunscreen and everything else you can figure out, but protect yourself. And I think that is like, protect yourself. I think that's the sunscreen metaphor, but also wear sunscreen.
Right.
And Jenna, I want you to listen to it, and I encourage everyone else to, but it's a really interesting song. And it says like, people, you don't have to know what you want to do, and you can change what you want to do. And it's not static. It's not fixed, and you'll figure it out and you'll do what you need to be doing in that moment.
You can't control the sun. You can't tell the sun to turn itself down or to get hotter. The only thing you can do is prepare yourself in terms of being ready to adapt to how the sun changes. You can only care about you. And so I think with your career, it's that same thing of, I can pretend I know what life's going to look like, or I can just say I'm living in the moment because all I know is now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can still have loves and interests, and I can still say, if you're asking me what I would want to do right now, I'd want to be a painter, but I don't know what that's going to be 10 years from now. And so giving yourself the permission to say I don't know, and to say I don't need to know, and to say that I haven't, you know, I'm not only defined by what I do, is a big part of Taoism.
Frankly, like, if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's that the world can shift on a dime. And you don't know if your job is even the job, your dream job, or the job that you want is even going to exist in 10 years, or if it's going to be taken over by AI or just become
obsolete. If we're going to exist in 10 years.
Yeah, we don't know anything. You don't know what's going to come new that the next big job is going to be. You don't know. So
why? But the good news is Taoists aren't people who just sit back and are unprepared for life. They're prepared because they admit they don't know. And so they only deal with when what I can control, which is the now, happens, I'm ready to adapt and I'm ready to be flexible and change. And that doesn't mean that they're like, oh shit, now I have to get ready. They're not procrastinators. But they're people who acknowledge that, yeah, you can say 10 years from now, I'm going to be here right now doing this and that and that. Or you can say, I'd like to do that, but how do I know? And so it's only the only thing I can deal with is myself right now and live in the moment. And it's so much more enjoyable to do that anyways.
I really like that. So I have one last question to kind of wrap this up. And I know that we've touched upon this a couple times as we talked, but I just, in a nutshell, if you can almost speak to our listeners who are here to like figure out what to do in these weird years while they're 20 years old and set themselves up, like what would you say to them that has Taoist principles or lessons that they should or could choose to apply to their time while they're 20?
I would say, just that a personal thing, acknowledge that this is hard, but from a Taoist perspective, acknowledge that if you don't sweat the small stuff, and if you go with the flow, and you are flexible, and you are open-minded, and you are optimistic, the world is your oyster.
And that's on Taoism.
Bam.
All right. So as you guys know, we like to finish off every episode with a game segment. And this week we're bringing back some quotes. This was one of our favorite things to do. I love waking up in the morning or even to go to bed at night and looking at some quotes to help me feel a little bit more, I don't know, fulfilled and motivated.
So basically for this week, we both found quotes online that are in the realm of spirituality or something that just brings us peace and calm and fills that existentialist void for us. And we're going to share them with each other. We haven't heard each other's yet, but I really love mine and I'm really excited to share it. And this is definitely something that, you know, eventually someone's looking to make a mood board or just something that keeps them going. These are great quotes that really have inspired us and we feel might inspire you.
I highly recommend mood boards.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about that one day.
What I love about mood boards is that they're not pressuring you to do anything with them. They're just saying, this is what brings me joy.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I'll start with mine.
Okay.
And this quote was said by Megan Holman, and she considers herself to be like knowledgeable in spiritual empowerment and intuitive energy healing. And this quote she wrote kind of speaking to coronavirus, and I like it because it's about a mindset. And like, that's kind of how I interpret my spirituality. It's about the mindset that I choose to be in. So she says, this is an opportunity to expand your mind, love harder, be kinder, self-reflect, practice gratitude, discover your passions, read, write, heal, meditate, stretch, slow down, rest, recharge, and to begin again. And this resonated with me because I don't think what she's trying to say is that you need to do all of these things. I think what she was saying with, again, that idea that Jenna was talking about that relates to Taoism is balance. And there, this coronavirus pandemic is a negative thing that is happening, but this positive opportunity to begin again or to do things that you haven't done. And like, again, like self-reflect, all of these positive things. I don't know. I really liked this quote and it resonated with me for this time.
Yeah, I totally see the balance in there. And I also like, I don't know if you can actually see the picture of it. Maybe we'll have to share this on one of our social medias. But What I love about this quote is the way that it's actually laid out has in bold, this is an opportunity, and in bold, to begin again.
Mm-hmm. And the rest is in between.
Right. Which is basically, this is an opportunity for so much, but above all, this is an opportunity to start fresh and to rejuvenate and be what you want to be in that moment and who you want to be in that moment. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think like for me, it's like, I can put myself into this mindset. Like I can choose to see this time this way.
My quote is actually from Lao Tzu, who I said was the creator, one of the founding creators of Taoism. And I don't know if it came, you know, directly from the Tao Te Ching, but regardless, I think it's so fitting with Taoism, where it says, when I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. And that's so cool, right?
That took me a moment to process.
Yeah, it's weird because you have the past tense and the forward. It's just, it's cool because it's basically saying only when I, like what you said, when I realize, you know, the power that I have, but also the power that I don't, do I open up this potential for myself to do whatever I like to do in life and to remove those boundaries that I self-inflict.
I don't know. I just love that we can have so many versions of ourselves. And I think the Taoism principle or philosophy that things will happen for a reason. I also like to believe that we can choose, and I can choose in this moment who I want to be for this moment. And that I have that power of choice, but not the control of what's going to happen to me, but I can choose who I want to be.
And you have a say on you and nothing else but you.
So I think that quote for me speaks to, I don't have to be the person that I am right now. Like I can choose to change into a more authentic version of myself or the version that I need to be for the present situation. Mm-hmm.
And nothing is absolute. There's always change. Change is inevitable. And only when we appreciate change and accept change will we really understand what's happening around us.
My heart is warm.
Mine too. I think this was a really great conversation. I think, you know, you don't have to be an expert in these fields to see the benefit of talking existentialism. And I think, you know, obviously we don't know the answer to why we're here or who put us here or if, you know, anything really matters, but everyone has their own beliefs and everyone has their own values. And I think as long as you're accepting of others' values and open-minded, they serve a really great purpose in terms of spirituality.
And I guess with that said, this episode, we just wanted to bring you something that you could reflect on to see how some of the philosophies of Taoism can apply to your life that, or even that you didn't even realize, like myself, that you had already applied to yourself. And Jenna did such a great job of explaining how you don't have to be a Taoist and you don't have to accept the religious views of it or all of the views of it, but there's lessons in there that you can apply to yourself in the way that you're going to live your life without fully embodying all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to learn something new every day. And as we said before, we're obviously not experts on this subject, but we'd love one day to sit down with like a knowledgeable mentor on this topic and learn more about what this philosophy means to them.
Yeah. So we would love if you'd send us a DM on any of our social media accounts and like, let us know, does Taoism seem like something you'd want to apply to your life? And what schools of philosophies and spiritualities do you value? We're, whatever we say is, again, we're just sharing our views on things. We're not experts. So we'd love to hear your side of things and learn more.
If you did like this episode, please make sure to leave us a rating. We'd love to hear from you, and it helps us grow and better our craft. Also, be sure to follow us on all our social media accounts. We're getting really active on there, and we love having a community, so make sure to be a part of that. Check out our website for updates and blog posts at www.my20somethingspodcast.com.
Last episode, we talked about all of the products that we're currently in love with, so make sure to check that one out. We listed some amazing products by creators, both big and small, and we're sure you'll love them.
We're wishing you an awesome rest of your week. We loved learning something new today and encourage you to find opportunities to learn in your own life.
Stay healthy, hopeful, and happy, because you got this.
Bye, guys.